Chapter 1. From Communist to Venture Capitalist. This here's all about my wife, my kids, the life that I lived through the night. I was his. It was right. But I did my ups and downs, my slips, my falls, my trials and tribulations, my heart, my balls. DMX. Who we be. The other day I threw a big barbecue at my house and invited 100 of my closest friends. These types of gatherings aren't unusual. My brother-in-law Carthew and I have been barbecuing for years, and my skills have earned me the nickname from my African-American friends, the Jackie Robinson of barbecue. I crossed the color line. At this particular barbecue, the conversation turned to the great rapper Nas. My friend Tristan Walker, a young African-American entrepreneur, commented proudly that Nas was from his home project, Queensbridge, New York, one of the largest public housing projects in the United States. My 73-year-old Jewish father interjected, "I've been to Queensbridge." Convinced that there was no way that my old white father had been to Queensbridge, Tristan said, "You must mean Queens. Queensbridge is actually a housing project in an extremely rough neighborhood." My father insisted, "No, it was Queensbridge." I pointed out to Tristan that my father grew up in Queens, so he couldn't possibly be confused. Then I asked, "Dad, what were you doing in Queensbridge?" He replied, "I was passing out communist literature when I was 11 years old. I remember it well, because my mother got very upset that the Communist Party sent me into the projects. She thought it was too dangerous for a little kid." My grandparents were actually card-carrying communists. As an active member of the Communist Party, my grandfather, Phil Horowitz, lost his job as a schoolteacher during the McCarthy era. My father was a red diaper baby and grew up indoctrinated in the philosophy of the left. In 1968, he moved our family west to Berkeley, California, and became editor of the famed New Left magazine, Ramparts. As a result, I grew up in the city, affectionately known by its inhabitants as the People's Republic of Berkeley. As a young child, I was incredibly shy and terrified of adults. When my mother dropped me off at nursery school for the first time, I began to cry. The teacher told my mother to just leave, while reassuring her that crying was common among nursery school children. But when Alyssa Horowitz returned 3 hours later, she found me soaking wet and still crying. The teacher explained that I hadn't stopped, and now my clothes were drenched as a result. I got kicked out of nursery school that day. If my mother hadn't been the most patient person in the world, I might never have gone to school. When everybody around her recommended psychiatric treatment, she was patient, willing to wait until I got comfortable with the world, no matter how long it took. When I was 5 years old, we moved from a one-bedroom house on Glen Avenue, which had become far too small for a six-person family, to a larger one on Bonita Avenue. Bonita was middle-class Berkeley, which means something a bit different from what one finds in most middle-class neighborhoods. The block was a collection of hippies, crazy people, lower-class people working hard to move up, and upper-class people taking enough drugs to move down. One day, one of my older brother Jonathan's friends, Roger, not his real name, was over at our house. Roger pointed to an African-American kid down the block who was riding in a red wagon. Roger dared me, "Go down the street. Tell that kid to give you his wagon. And if he says anything, spit in his face and call him a nigger." A few things require clarification here. First, we were in Berkeley, so that was not common language. In fact, I'd never heard the word nigger before and didn't know what it meant, though I guessed it wasn't a compliment. Second, Roger wasn't racist, and he wasn't raised in a bad home. His father was a Berkeley professor, and both his parents were some of the nicest people in the world, but we later found out that Roger suffered from schizophrenia, and his dark side wanted to see a fight. Roger's command put me in a difficult situation. I was terrified of Roger. I thought that he would surely give me a severe beating if I didn't follow his instructions. On the other hand, I was terrified of asking for the wagon. Hell, I was terrified of everything. I was much too scared of Roger to stay where I was, so I began walking down the block toward the other kid. The distance was probably 30 yards, but it felt like 30 miles. When I finally got there, I could barely move. I did not know what to say, so I just opened my mouth and started talking. "Can I ride in your wagon?" is what came out. Joel Clark Jr. said, "Sure." When I turned to see what Roger would do, he was gone. Apparently his light side had taken over and he'd moved on to something else. Joel and I went on to play all day that day, and we've been best friends ever since. 18 years later, he would be the best man at my wedding.